Veterans salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of COTA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use COTA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on COTA. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.
Here are some words that you thought you would probably never hear. I'm a porch pirate.
What?
Yep.
What happened?
I stole two packages and I can only say that it's all my husband's fault.
Oh my gosh. I mean, it had to have been an accident, right? Are you trying to return these things? What took place?
All right. So recently we moved and recently, for whatever reason, my husband has decided to start purchasing his own clothes online.
I know that this has been very jarring for you. You don't feel like he's actually qualified to do this.
Right. So here's the thing. I've been with my husband since I was 19, 20 years old, mm-hmm. right? We've been married a long time. He has never bought his own clothes. But I've been saying to him, like, I got a lot going on. I'm very busy. I got to take care of the kids, too.
I can't dress you up.
I can't keep, like, going to the mall to buy you clothes. And he's been traveling a lot for work, and he needs a lot of new business clothes.
Okay.
I said, Paul, just buy your own clothes. Now, for the last, I don't know, 20 years, he hasn't done it. All of a sudden now that we've moved, he's decided that he's going to do it.
Boxes are coming.
He is having all these clothes shipped to our old house. Now, explain to me how annoying that is, because like he has all the accounts. He logs in under me, buys the stuff, doesn't change the address, and they're going to our home that we moved out of last month.
Yeah.
So now he admits to me, hey, babe. I go, yeah. He goes, I bought some stuff at Nordstrom's and it went to the old house. And I'm like, come on. And he's like, yeah. So now it's not like I have the old the people that bought our house's info.
Yeah, you don't have their phone number or anything like that.
No.
The transaction is over. They paid right. what they paid.
Yep.
You're probably happy to get that money and be gone.
Right. So now I have to call my realtor, who's so sweet and kind, and he has to call their realtor, who has to call their clients and say, hey, dumb Anna and Paul like had stuff shipped to the old house. Is it okay if they come pick it up? They say, sure, no problem, because they're nice people.
But that takes time, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a whole thing. And then after the first time, you know, the first time it's, second time it's like, okay. Third time it's like, what? Seriously,
like, what's wrong with these people? What's wrong with these people that they can't change the address when they're ordering things?
Right.
I go to my old house, which always feels weird after you move out of a house to pull into your driveway.
Yes.
So I pull
in. You feel
in.
Like everybody in the neighborhood sees you, too.
Yeah. Well, they did. The neighbors came out.
Yeah.
So on top of
awkward.
It, I'm having people watch me steal packages. So now I walk up and like nice people, everything is piled up right on the like the stoop.
Yeah.
I grab all the packages and I'm trying to get in and out of there as fast as possible because I'm embarrassed. I get in the car. I bring all the stuff home. And now it's a few hours later and my daughter's looking at the stuff and she's like, Ma, these aren't to us.
Great.
No, I didn't look at the names.
Yeah.
So it's a mix of the packages that my husband sent and a mix of the packages that belong to the new owners.
Yeah. So you thought that they stacked it up for you. No, that was just Amazon.
Yep.
Yeah. Leaving it in a pile there.
Yep.
For the owners.
Yes.
So that's great. So you're going to drive it back or you're just going to hold on to this stuff? You're going to open it up, play a little bit of package roulette?
No. So if now I'm so humiliated because I have to text my realtor.
You got
to
call your realtor
who
again.
Has to call their realtor, who has to call them to say that I stole four of their packages.
Oh my gosh.
And I have to bring them back to the house now. I was looking at it and it was their contacts.
Oh my gosh. You are no longer a friend.
Oh, now I'm the annoying
you're
old
an enemy.
Owners.
You're
right?
The enemy.
I stole their stuff. I stole the stuff off their porch. I'm a porch pirate.
You are.
Ugh. Why is it trending? Top news stories trending and why. A lot of celebrity talk this weekend. First off, Kourtney Kardashian has been all over the news. And you may remember when she first got married to Travis Barker, she was asked if they ever wanted children together. And this is what she said.
I would love to in a dream world. And we each have three, so... 6, 7, 8.
It's a lot of babies.
Wow.
A lot of babies.
Wait, they each have three, and she's talking about 6, 7, 8. She wants to add some more?
Yeah. So,
wow.
And she's pregnant. So she made the announcement at a Blink-182 concert. Like, she did the thing from All the Small Things video where she held up a sign, a poster that says, Travis, I'm pregnant. Like, you know.
I'm sure she did that for a private conversation.
Yes. Like, yep. I mean, she's obviously, like, when you see, you know, she's got to be if I had to take a guess, and I don't like to play this, how many months are you pregnant?
Oh,
guess?
Boy. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
You're going to do this. Not you, not me.
I mean, since it's her fourth baby, I think you pop sooner, or I did.
Whatever. Just say how many months you did.
I'm going to guess 4.5, 5 months. Look, is probably
you,
my guess.
So you're worried that she's listening right now and going to be offended by your
no,
guess
I don't
as
know.
To when the baby bump should really pop.
I don't
okay.
think they actually said when she's due. So this past weekend was a big deal because they did the gender reveal.
Yeah. So she, I mean, obviously she's going to be far enough along that they know these type of things.
Yeah. But now, because so here's all the controversy. Mm. She's considered advanced maternal age. She is 44 years old.
Yeah.
Now, when I had Dakota, I was 38 years old.
Geriatric.
They kept calling me like geriatric pregnancy. Yeah. I was like, you know, it's hurtful. It's hurtful when people say that. You're like, all right, like, what am I, a grandma? Like, I can't have a kid. So they're giving her, the internet, I should say, is giving her a lot of criticism because they're saying that she's too old to have a child.
I mean, this is just what the internet does.
I don't want to even entertain that. If they want to have a baby and she's pregnant and she worked hard, then, like, you know, all the power
to
them. Good for them. Exactly.
Right.
So that's it. We'll see. It's a baby boy.
It's a baby boy.
Yep. And we'll see what goes down with that.
Congratulations.
Also trending, Taylor Swift and Meghan Markle. Now, this is interesting because Meghan Markle sent a handwritten note to Taylor Swift asking for Taylor Swift to come on the podcast. And she said no. So now there's a lot of speculation as to why Taylor Swift wouldn't go on the podcast.
So, I mean, there's a big problem here, right? Because they're losing all this money that these creative, you know, deals that Meghan Markle and Prince Harry did.
Right. Well, after this came out, also, she lost her deal with Spotify.
Right.
So she doesn't have the podcast
worth up to $20 million.
Right. So there's a lot of question as to why Taylor Swift wouldn't do the interview with Meghan Markle.
Mm.
Taylor Swift's team hasn't actually said the reason why they she declined the offer. It could have been a scheduling issue. We know from recent reports that Meghan wasn't always actually in the room with her guests for the podcast episodes that she aired. A lot of them were, or a few of them, were actually interviewed by her producers, and then she would go into another room at a different or more convenient time and then record her part of the podcast.
I thought this was really interesting because there's been a lot of controversy about this. So, you know, everyone talks about lip syncing. When artists lip sync on stage, is it cheating? Well, if you have your producers do your interview and then you just dub your voice in later asking the same questions, is that considered cheating?
I say yes. You have to be able to have your own live conversation. I mean, it's not even a question to me. And I understand why Taylor Swift said no. And it's multiple reasons beyond this. Listen, the rumor is they're about to lose their Netflix deal, too.
Yeah.
That the conversation started coming up and trending over the last 24 to 48 hours. There's a lot of speculation as to the fact of how much are they actually creating on their own and how much are they just, you know, kind of standing on top of this, you know, creative mountain of people behind them.
I don't think that's why Taylor Swift said no. I think she just has no interest in being part of that drama.
Right.
Or that storyline.
Right.
I think Taylor Swift has become smart enough to know when she's like, no, I don't think I need to be part of that.
She doesn't need to, you know, produce their thing or push their thing for them.
No.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 You just have to fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you. What is driving you crazy right now? Raven, producer John, if you scored a four-year-old in the face with a kid sake thing, that's all I need to know about you. I took my family to hibachi yesterday.
Yeah.
And you know how they do the thing where they squirt the sake in your mouth?
It's the best part.
Yeah, but, you know, they have the kid version where I think it's just water. I don't know what they squirt. I'm
you
assuming
it's
not
water.
I have no idea.
Right.
But I'm assuming it's not actually sake.
I mean, you let them do it to your kid regardless.
Right.
You know?
Didn't
they,
try it first.
They didn't ask. They just pointed it to Dakota and squirted it in her face.
Yeah.
Now I want you to imagine my four-year-old just sitting there so excited, and then all of a sudden she gets smacked in the face with this stream of water sake.
Wait, so her mouth wasn't even open?
No!
Like, they didn't, like, give her, they just squirted her in the face?
I guess he just thought that she was going to know what to do, but we haven't been to hibachi in a really long time. She had no recollection whatsoever.
Well, and she's four.
Yeah, she was very upset about it.
Ironically, I went this week, too, as a matter of fact, and there were two kids seated with us at the same, you know, chef area, right?
Yeah.
And same thing, they got it in the face. They were ready for it, though. He was like, he shook it up and down. And for some reason, a kid can't, you know, figure out that, wait a minute, I've got to keep my mouth stationary. They're like, oh, no, I'm going to move around while this happens. It's like a bath going on over there.
You can't even fault the kids. Not for nothing. I can never do that either.
Yeah.
I don't want it. I don't want you to squirt anything in my face.
If you're not made to feel awkward by an over-anxious automatic toilet flusher in a public bathroom. That's all I need to know about you. I was in a hotel this past week, and at one point I got up, and you know, you go in and you use, and it's a beautiful hotel. So the bathroom is actually clean. It's not like you're going into an area where you're just like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to coat everything in here before I can actually do some business. No, you go in, and every time you move on the seat or anything like that, it's like, whoosh. And you know, one of these public ones, like, it's high power.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You could be sucked in at any time. It's just very awkward.
You sound like my son. He's terrified of those things. Anytime we go into a public thing.
I mean, if it goes five times when you go in there, it's scary. Well, it's scary.
He just points at it and goes, Dad, it loud? Get loud, Dad. Get loud.
Yes.
Like, probably, kid. Probably.
You see that red laser eye in it when you sit down and you're like, this is going to be rough.
If you go to two different fast food places in the same trip, that's all I need to know about you. Like, you go to one, and then you immediately go to another one immediately afterward.
Where did you do? I do this sometimes.
How long of a trip are we talking?
Yeah.
It was Sunday morning, and I had some drinks the night before. So had the friend I was with. So we decide to go get some fast food, right? Yep. And we decide on Taco Bell, and we're definitely going to Taco Bell. But I ask her, I'm like, have you ever had Popeyes, though? She's like, no. I'm like, you've never had one of their biscuits? She goes, no. And we're like, okay, it's too early for fried chicken, but we need to have some of those biscuits. So we came into the drive-thru specifically just for biscuits and then went to Taco Bell immediately.
I don't find anything wrong with that.
I can't stand it if there's two people in the car and they want different things. Like, I'm like, we have to agree on one place.
No.
To me, it just seems like I've given up too much of a portion of my life.
No, I'll hit two drive-thrus. Like, if my daughter wants something and I want something else, I'll be like, as long as I can get out of the car.
Yeah. I mean, as long as it takes to go to the second drive-thru by eating that much condensed, fried, processed food in that little time, you've already taken the moments off your life anyway. So I guess it doesn't make any difference.
There you go.
All right. 1-800-330-9999. If you want to call in too, you just have to fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you. Average American has 6 arguments every single weekend. It's a lot, right?
Mm.
Most of them are dumb because they're the ones that you have with your friends and family that you're always around.
Sometimes I have weekends where I have no arguments, and then other times I have weekends where I have like 20.
All right, Raven, producer John, let's see who had the dumbest argument of the weekend. Raven, what was your argument about?
So we have walkie-talkies, all right? We had walkie-talkies that I had purchased ages ago. They're in my bug-out bin, and my wife had a couple of her friends over this weekend.
What's a bug-out bin?
They insisted they got a little bit lit that they wanted to play with the walkie-talkies.
Okay, what's a bug-out kit?
That's, you know, like when the end of the world is coming.
You tried to sail right past that.
No, I'm happy to answer that. You know, it's like when the end of the world is coming. It's like, you know, where you go, where your walkie-talkies, your batteries, like, you know, your powdered milk and other items might be. And everybody's list is a little bit different. So anyways, we were having a discussion about walkie-talkies and about whether or not they are a valid form of communication. And my friend said this.
No reason for them to even exist anymore. They're just toys. They're basically tin cans on strings. They're toys.
The fact is, again, if the cell phones don't work, then they're the only way that you can talk.
There are a million other ways to communicate. These are just glorified fart machines. You have one set up somewhere, and you just like mess with your buddies and just have them on. So, like, where's that noise coming from? What is that?
Yeah, so his argument was that as soon as somebody turns on a walkie-talkie, it doesn't matter what's going on. If the actual world isn't ending, they just make belching sounds or other inappropriate noises into the other end of the walkie-talkie to annoy their friends.
Odd use of a walkie-talkie for a grown man. But
you know
okay.
what? Let me tell you right now. That's exactly what the girls did.
All right, here's producer John's argument.
I think you got to invite everybody, right?
We're absolutely not doing that. First of all, you know half the class doesn't even really like our kid. So why do we have to do that?
But that's not the point. The point is, like, if someone finds out, then it's going to be like, you're a jerk. You decided to not invite my kid. What's wrong with my kid that the other kid has?
Maybe your kids shouldn't be jerks and then I'd invite them all.
But they're four.
I debate this a lot myself.
It's a big one.
I was at a birthday party this Saturday, and my son, James, was one of the only kids from the class that got invited, and he was the only one that actually showed up. And I was like, that's messed up on all kinds of different things. Like, you don't invite the whole class. That's weird. But also, if you get invited, you don't show up. Like,
well,
I don't know.
I mean, don't invite me. If my kid doesn't like your kid, don't invite my kid.
I mean, if you RSVP, you can't go.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different time of year, too, man. I mean, other people got their own summer plans happening.
Summer is a hard time for birthdays.
Bye.
We've talked about this. Right. Like, it's, you know, people travel. All right, I had what I think may be the dumbest argument.
Is it really necessary for you to have a special cushion for your butt while you're driving?
Only for the one car.
I don't think that's a real thing. I don't think that your butt can only hurt when you're driving one car.
Yeah, because it's the driver's seat.
But when you drive it all the other times, it's fine. But this one time that we're going on a long drive, you have to buy a special pillow for your butt?
Yeah.
And wow. I mean, Paul's younger than me.
You've never been on like a 3-hour ride and like 45 minutes into that ride, that pain, you know, that pain on like the right side of your body starts shooting up and you're like, oh, God,
that's
I'm locked
every day
in
of
now.
My life.
I'm locked in now for the next 2.5 hours.
Are you
every
kidding
day of my
me?
Life.
We have a shared Amazon account. Yeah. I went to look how much he paid for the bony butt cushion.
$26, I say.
$30.
Wow, all right.
$30 for a cushion for your butt for a car that already has a cushion built in?
For hours of comfort?
Yes.
Small price to pay.
He can walk right the next day, right.
Dumbest argument. Raven, who do you think had it?
I mean, it's the man's backside. If he tells you he needs a pillow, I'd believe him.
I disagree.
Personally.
Walkie-talkies, Raven, for real?
Yeah. All right, and they're charged and ready to go. So you remember that when the zombies come.
Bug out, Ben.
Okay, I'm going to say Raven wins. Walkie-talkie arguments are dumb.
Wow.
90% of people in a relationship lie to their significant other.
I mean, 90%. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, that's like everybody.
It's everybody.
Yeah, I mean, 9 out of 10, 90 out of 100, it's everybody.
And I don't want to sound naive or anything like that, but yeah. I truly try to remember when was the last time that I told my husband an untruth. Right?
So wait a minute. Let me just understand the definition here. Is an untruth is not as great as a lie? It's like, is it an omission? Because, I mean, there's all sorts of different degrees of this.
It just sounds nicer when you say untruth.
Okay, so it's a lie.
It's a lie.
It's a lie. All right, you lied.
It's a white lie. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, I mean, what description does that make?
So I've been thinking about this for the last couple of days since I read that stat. And then, ironically, last night I had this conversation with my husband. We were just talking about this.
Mm. How much did it cost?
What?
The bony butt cushion.
I don't actually remember.
How do you not remember? You're lying. How much did it cost?
I don't know.
He bought a bony butt cushion because we're going on a long drive. Yep. And I said it was the most ridiculous thing I'd ever heard in my entire life. I didn't even know these things existed. They're basically passenger seat pillows for butts. And I mean, his butt's not bony.
But why do you care? I mean, the man just wants to be comfortable.
Because it's not going to work. And then you know what's going to happen?
Okay, so it's just going to end up, it's a $30 pariah that,
right.
Basically.
So
right. It's not going to get returned. It's not going to be a good purchase.
He lied to me completely about it. Mm-hmm. And he honestly had no idea. He said he just went to Amazon and swiped and whatever. You know how much you're paying for the bony butt cushion.
Yeah.
So I looked it up and it was $30. And he knew that I was going to be like, you spent $30 on this nonsense, and that I was going to get mad. So he lied to me.
Yeah.
So 90% of people lie to their significant others. Mm-hmm. What's the last time you lied to your significant other?
I would say it's probably always finance, right? I mean, the main thing is you know, you are trying to hide something that you purchased or something that, you know, you spent too much on. And I would say the last time was probably last weekend when we all went out for a friend's kind of like going away get together. And, you know, we just spent a ton of money at the bar. And I mean, I signed for every receipt. And the thing is it was like, you know, we had drivers and all that stuff. I don't know what I actually ordered and didn't order because it was one of those kind of nights. So I just paid them all.
So you just didn't tell your wife the truth.
What
did you say? You didn't tell her?
Yeah. Like one of my friends the other night, like just this past weekend, actually quoted what we spent the weekend before. And I was like, shh.
Right.
Because they were like up across from the area. And I was like, no.
I gotta
keep that to yourself.
Think about it. Like, when was the last time you lied to your significant other? 1-800-330-9999. Cassidy.
I told him that I was going to a doctor's appointment when in reality I spent a solo date at the spa.
That's pretty nice.
I mean, it's self-care.
It's self-care, but he'd be so hurt if I told him that, because he'd be like, why didn't you take me?
Yep.
He'd be like, I just wanted to be alone.
Yeah, no, I get that. Sometimes I just want to go alone.
Sometimes you just want to be alone.
Yep.
Sometimes I just sit in my car around the block and just sit there for like 15 minutes just in silence. Just sit there. Because, you know, like once you go, like you just go from like going 100 miles per hour to 100 miles per hour when you have to turn into mom mode or home mode. So.
No, it's true.
So what's wrong with just having a few minutes to yourself or a few hours when she thinks you're getting a mammogram, but you're really getting a manicure?
Oh, man.
Are you lying to your significant other right this very moment? 90% of people, according to this new study and research, lie to their significant other regularly about specific things. That number was staggering to me.
I mean, some are small, some are big, right? Right now, somebody could be lying about where it is that they're headed, who it is that they're with. On the other hand, somebody else could be lying to their spouse saying, I'm not going to have soda today.
I'm not going to Target today again.
Right.
No.
I'm not going to order another sub for lunch. I'm not going to do that. No, of course not.
What was the last thing you lied to your significant other about? 1-800-330-9999. Valerie.
I lied to him about how much my plants cost when I buy a new one.
Mm, your plants.
He knows nothing about my plants, and he doesn't need to know how much I'm spending on them.
Yeah, landscaping is expensive. I mean, no question about it.
Yeah, but but these are like house plants?
Not even landscaping. These are indoor plants.
Yeah. So there is a whole legion of people, and I'm going to guess that you are a part of them, that are obsessed with plants.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes, how much does a plant actually cost?
Depending on the plant, like on average, probably about like $10 to $20.
That's not so bad. Yeah.
I mean, I did spend more money than I'm proud to admit on one plant.
Wait a minute. I mean, it was like a special kind of plant? Like,
yes, it's a royal plant.
It's a rare plant.
It's a what?
A rare plant.
What kind of rare plant? I mean, clearly it has a name. Give it to me.
It's called the Monstera Thai Constellation.
Oh, that sounds pricey.
Expensive.
Sounds very fancy.
Yeah.
What did that plant cost you?
It's beautiful, though. It cost $240.
$240 for a plant? Something you have to keep alive?
She told you it was a fancy plant.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
$240. It better water the other plants for me.
Yeah.
Wow.
It can make me my money back eventually.
Right.
Wait a minute.
She's going to sell off pieces of it.
Wait a minute.
It's going to spawn like
this
other baby's plants. And
this
then she's
plant
gonna sell
breeds
them.
Plants?
Yeah. No. Like snakes.
Anna knows.
Yeah. I know what's up. I follow it on Instagram because I'm fascinated with all the plant people.
This is crazy.
Yeah, it's a real thing.
Elena, last thing you lied about to your significant other.
My husband really wanted me to come home from a long work trip early, and I had them book me a flight a day later so that I could enjoy a night in London before coming back. And I told my husband, like, oh, they booked me a flight the wrong day. So now I'm stuck in London until tomorrow.
That's a good one.
I mean, you really wanted that extra day, mm-hmm. like an extra day to be a tourist after you had to work. That's well deserved. Yeah.
I mean, forgetting
Thank
to being
you.
A tourist, just getting yourself a croissant and then sitting on the balcony.
Yeah.
Just doing nothing. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
A scone. She was in England, not in Paris.
Oh, too bad.
I know. It's a big
Fish
difference.
And chips, babe. Fish and chips.
Well, you know, I'll eat all of it, to be fair.
Derek, how about you? When did you lie to your significant other?
Well, recently we went to this restaurant, and one of the waitresses was, like, really flirting with me and talking to me, and we were conversating back and forth. And at the end of the dinner, my wife asked me if I knew her, and I just lied and said, well, I went to high school with her. But in reality, we dated for 3 years.
That's a big lie.
Yeah. On the other hand, if you really like that restaurant, you want to go back there at some point to eat again. You know, I mean, in high school, if you were 23, big lie. All right. You're 42. Not a big lie.
If there was a woman that was flirting with my husband, I said, how do you know her? And you're like, oh, I went to high school with her. And then I found out you dated her for 3 years. There's a big difference between I went to high school with you and then I dated you. Like, that's a big difference.
I mean, if you're flirting with me in front of my spouse anyways, you don't have much respect already. So, I mean. Maybe you shouldn't have conversated so much.
Right.
If we're being real.
It's hard when you have to break up with somebody. There's different ways to do it. You could ghost them. You can call them. You can be an adult and do it face-to-face, text, whatever.
I would argue is that when you've come to the decision that you have to break up with somebody or something or whatever, the easiest part is actually the breakup, when you just do it, because you immediately feel better after.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the build-up to it, we get in our heads.
Producer John doesn't want to break up with a person. He wants to break up with his entire band.
Right.
So explain to us why you want to break up with your band.
You know, it's been a long time that I've been with this particular group of people, 10 years. You know, we've done a lot. We've played a lot of shows. We've recorded some stuff. We just recorded something recently. And I don't have time for it anymore. I don't have the time. I'm in my mid-30s. I got a kid. I got this job. There's just no time.
The dream
things.
Is dead.
The dream died. If we're being real, the dream died quite a while ago.
Yeah. No, it's I know, because I've had dreams die.
I know.
So
isn't this so much fun?
I can recognize it.
It's so much fun.
I can recognize it in his voice, his vocal inflection, and in his face.
A little glimmer that goes out in your eye at a
dreams
certain
have
point.
Died.
No, you know what? I work with a lead singer, Tracy Joe. She's very talented. She's great. Well, love her. But she wants to, like, really do the thing. Really, like, up and
live it.
Yeah.
Let's go. We're going to live in a van. we're going to do this.
Which is funny, Raven, because that's what I wanted to do. I just wanted to do it 7 years ago.
Yeah.
When she was like, I don't know, I think I'm going to go to New Orleans for a little bit. We're going to like see what's happening. And go on. This is why you don't get into a band with people who are younger than you. She's not even that much younger than me.
Okay.
Just, yeah.
All right,
anyway.
So now what it comes, so besides the fact that maybe she's just listening right now and gets it.
I was surprised with the name, but okay.
She's 100% not listening right now.
Okay.
I can promise you that.
All right, so how do you break up with your band? So I think it's a lot like breaking up with your hairdresser, right?
When you break up with your hairdresser, do you tell them or do you just... You just never show up again.
Depends how long you've been with them.
Yeah. I think the best thing with a band is like you do the show and then at the end when everybody's cheering, it's the best show of your life. You're like, yeah, I got a new thing. You check it out. You're on the mic. Come see me.
That's
you know,
great.
That's when they know.
So the most dramatic way possible.
Yes.
Also, Anna, thank you very much for talking about some of my best friends and closest relationships over the last 10 years. But no, you're right. It's just like breaking up with your hairdresser. Please can
no.
tell me more about that.
When I had to break up with my hairdresser, it was one of the hardest things I ever had to do. She had been doing my hair.
You should try harder things,
since
but okay.
She was doing my hair since I was 12 years old. Mm. She did my hair from when I was 12 to 32.
So she was like your mom's age.
She was like a friend of the family. She did my wedding. Like, it was the hardest things I ever had to do.
Right.
You know? So yes, it's like breaking up with the band. I think that you need to call a meeting. And I think you need to have a meeting where you all sit down together, and you should cry.
I just want to know, was that the worst breakup of your life, the hairdresser one? Because you made it sound so dramatic.
Without exaggeration, it was probably one of the hardest things I ever had to do, was to say to her, I think I need to go get my hair done somewhere else.
Oh.
It was really, really, really hard.
Wow.
And I think it's the same thing in your situation. Because when you have those meaningful like relationships with people saying, I love you, but just not in that way anymore. Don't touch my head is going to be tough.
Anna's going to. All right. So you want me to get a whole meeting together.
Yes.
And I want you to sit down. This is the part that Anna's not going to say on the air. When we're off the air, she's going to say, also, I want you to record the whole thing. And we're going to talk about it next week.
Also, I want you to record the whole thing. And I want to know what their reaction is. And I want you you have to be like really solemn about it.
OK.
OK. Tell them like.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I'm sure they all want to play into the radio bit now that they've heard it.
Right.
Yeah. Heard about the breakup.
All right. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
Record it and report back on how it goes. Looking for extra cash? It is the newest, biggest side hustle, and you can make up to $70,000 a year becoming a professional mermaid.
What?
I have been seeing this all over the place, and then I started Googling it, and I was like, this is a thing. This is a real thing.
No, but this isn't a thing for like people like me. Like, they're not looking to hire dad bod mermaids, are they?
Funny you should ask. Listen to this, Raven.
What?
Now everyone wants to be a mermaid too, and it doesn't matter if you are just a little girl or a woman. We have guy mermen, like mermen.
You could be a merman.
Wow.
I know.
This is opening up some different opportunities for me.
Right. So you always hear about these mermaids, like, and it's becoming a thing. They can hire you for birthday parties. They're showing up at festivals. You can go to restaurants where there's an aquarium and there's mermaids swimming, all kinds of places.
I mean, I've heard about the restaurants here, but you know, you hire them for a birthday party, where they come and they swim in your pool.
Yes.
I would imagine there has to be some testing done before that. You know,
I was making sure
everything's in the right levels.
Yeah, no, seriously.
I mean, because I've killed a fish before transferring them from one aquarium to the next.
Mermaids are a little bit more durable.
Okay.
Yeah. And they even have World Mermaid Championships and a Miss Mermaid International, where you can participate in mermaid pageants.
Now that's weird. That's a little creepy. I'm not gonna lie. That's a little creepy.
Raven, I fell into the vortex last night on YouTube.
Yeah.
I watched mermaids swim underwater performing and like competing for hours.
You were convinced. This is an art form.
That's what I'm gonna do. I can do this.
How come I didn't know that this was a thing when I was a child?
I mean, you're gonna pay me $250 an hour so I can sit in a pool with my mermaid tail? Yes, I can 100% do that.
Wow.
But it turns out there's three things you have to do if you want to be a professional mermaid.
Okay.
You'll need to enroll in mermaid school.
It's empowering, and even if you're doing it privately in your own backyard.
From New York to LA, you can swim your way through these so-called mermaid academies all over the country.
Yep.
I love the idea of somebody doing Mermaid Academy on their own in their own backyard.
You teach them, you know, tricks for holding your breath longer, how to look graceful, how to pose.
It's a lot goes into mermaid school.
I would want to learn how to do the thing with the tail where I unroll it. Like, you know how like you, some people can tie a cherry stick, a stem, in a knot with their tongue?
Yeah.
I would want to be able to do that, like the rolling thing with my tail.
Well, that's what they teach you at mermaid school.
Wow.
Other things you need to do to become a professional mermaid.
Mm.
Mermaid fitness.
When you swim, you know, you're a mermaid, you swim, you use your core. Mm-hmm. So you really swim like a dolphin. You get very, very, very strong.
You have to have a really strong core. And if you think about it, like, you have to be able to be flapping around just like a dolphin for a long period of time. That's a lot of sit-ups.
Okay.
Yeah. And the last thing you have to do to become a professional mermaid that makes $70,000 a year.
No mermaid is complete without looking the part, which brings us to mermaid apparel. Swim on over to Etsy or Amazon to transform into a stylish sea siren without getting wet.
Wait a minute, mermaid apparel?
Yeah.
Tell me you went and looked at that too.
I 100% did. Here is an actual text chain that I sent to my boss, Keith, today. How much can I spend on a mermaid tail?
Oh, no.
He writes, how much is it? Get the cheapest one.
How much is the cheapest one?
I go, $58 for a legit one. And he wrote, no, your max is $25 too expensive. So I found a mermaid tail. I found one for $22.
Okay.
It's supposed to be one day prime. I'm supposed to get it tomorrow. I am going to see if I can teach myself how to be a professional mermaid, and then you can hire me for your backyard parties.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's how I'm going to make money this summer.
Oh, my gosh. Uh-huh. I wish you well.
Thank you. Do you have rules for your funeral? Social media OG Grammy Adroniak. She has 10 million followers on TikTok. TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
She's 93 years old, and she has thought a lot about her funeral.
Oh, yeah. When you get to a certain age, that's when you start doing the planning.
These are my rules at my funeral. Listen up. You could cry, but don't cry too much. Don't make a fool of yourself. Bertha is not invited. Don't let her in. And you better get drunk afterward. Take a shot for me.
Thanks, Grandma Drania.
You know what? There's always one of those people from the neighborhood, too, that you're like, you know, I know how people do when people die. Everybody just feels bad, so they let everybody in the place. Don't let that one in.
Don't let Bertha in.
Yeah.
I don't care what you do.
Bertha's been a bee her whole life. I don't want to see her here acting like she's going to come in and grab my friends.
Raven, producer John, there's some rules that you should have for your funeral, and you should let people know so they're aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Raven, you're first. What are the rules of your funeral?
The music list is simple. You just have to open up my YouTube and then pull from my playlist right there, because it's absolute nonsense. People will trip out when they see my music list.
Give me three songs on the music list.
Tiffany, I Think We're Alone Now is on there right now.
Well, in your casket, you're definitely alone.
Okay. Wow.
That is a good aspect there. There's always a Tom Petty track on there, too.
Dark.
Let's see.
Mary Jane's Last Dance. Yeah.
Yep, that'll work well. That right there.
You know what else I love is that we'll have to watch the ads, too, so we'll get a little look into your algorithm. What targeted ads did Raven get if we're pulling from this YouTube list?
$20 says it's all space stuff.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, you could put Billy Joel or Whitesnake on there for the third track. That would be good.
All right.
Great.
Producer John, the rules of your funeral. What's one of your rules?
Also very musical. I've said for a long time that I want my funeral to be a music festival, but most importantly, I want it to have a good lot scene beforehand, you know, the tailgate, the before the show.
Okay.
That's when you get to really socialize with people. That's when you get to hang out. You know, there isn't a loud band playing. You get to talk. You get to hang out. So this is what I want. I want a little bit of a lot scene beforehand. Okay, people drinking beers out of the car, talking, conversating.
Mm-hmm.
Quick service, then right to the music immediately afterward. But you got to have that step one.
Now, here's the thing, man. Your friends got to work.
Yeah.
That's the part that bothers me.
No, your friends.
Are you bringing in another band? Is all hired people?
It's going to be my friends, I would assume.
Right.
They want to perform at your funeral. That's the last time they're going to get to perform for you. They want to do that.
It's the last time they're going to get to try and steal your fans.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. So many fans.
I have just like one rule of my funeral. You know how a lot of times they put like in lieu of flowers, make a donation?
Yes.
Yeah. No, I want the flowers.
You do?
I want to bring me all the flowers. Mm. I always tell my husband, like, don't spend too much money on flowers. But the truth of the matter is that I love them. So if this is so, bring me the like the charities will figure it out. Like,
yeah.
They always have fundraisers and stuff. This wow. is my right. last hurrah. Yeah. This is it. And don't put a carnation on my casket. Like, get the roses and like the really pretty
spring
big
for the
ones.
Flowers.
The ones
right.
that cost like $4.
Lilies, right? Give
That's
me something,
it.
Right? An
yes.
orchid, right?
I want that. Yeah. I want the good flowers in my.
No,
funeral.
Yeah, the charities can wait. Let's give them to this dead lady.
It's been a lot of talk about whether or not Ocean Gate should be going down to the Titanic. And really, what it falls under is extreme tourism, which has been trending all over the place. And extreme tourism is another word for shock tourism. And even though you think like, okay, who would want to put their lives in jeopardy and spend all this money to go down to the Titanic? The answer is a lot of people.
I mean, shock tourism.
That's what they call it.
That seems absolutely nuts, right? I mean, there are people out there that like to have an adventure. They like to raise the blood pressure. That's all. They like to get the pulse going.
The adrenaline rush. That's what they look for. So it turns out, and this is like the politically correct way to call it.
Okay.
Global adventure tourism industry.
Right.
Was valued at $322 billion last year. They're expecting it to pass $1 trillion this year.
I mean, everybody else gets to see everything on their phone or on their TV nowadays, right? If you want to do something yourself, if you want to be extraordinary, this is how you do it.
Cliff diving, space tourism, climbing Mount Everest. These are all things that you hear about a lot in the news.
Okay.
But Raven, we're going to play, is this real or did Anna just make it up?
All right, cool.
Things that you can do for extreme tourism. Shark baiting. This is when they send you down with sharks and they see if you survive it or not.
I'd say that that's 100%, right? I mean, like they got to put you in a cage or something maybe, but you can definitely dive with sharks.
Shark baiting is a real thing. It costs about $5,600 a person. Here is a couple that's about to do it.
And we're going to see a bunch of sharks. A
bunch of sharks. One of the dive masters is going to start feeding them. And we hear it's going to be a feeding frenzy. My lifelong dream, shark bite. I would love a shark bite kind of on my upper shoulder.
Dude, what kind of rich person nonsense is that?
He wants a shark bite where, you know, like basically
convenient.
Where it doesn't hurt, you know, where I survive it, but yet I get to tell the story. Right.
That is the most nonsense thing I ever heard.
Just get a scar lasered on you.
How about a Chernobyl tour?
Yes, that's 100%. I know that that's real.
I work as international tour guide, Chernobyl Exclusion Zone. This tourism has existed since 2000. And some places are more dangerous, some places are totally fine, some places just relatively okay.
You got to roll the dice.
You know what I've read and I've seen documentaries is like the animal wildlife has come back. And no, the deer don't have two heads.
The International Nuclear Event Scale says it is not safe to be on those grounds for another 20,000 years.
I mean, come on. We're at Fukushima, too, you know, over in Japan. You know, we're just over there hanging out.
How much do you think the tour cost?
I'm going to say $5,000.
$300 a person.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bargain, right?
All right. What about volcano boarding?
I don't know what volcano boarding is. I know that you can go into volcanoes in certain places.
Volcano boarding has one ride down a steep volcanic slope on a wooden sled. Riders of the mountain have to hike to the top before sliding down. This sport can be considered extreme due to the handful of dangers involved. Sharp cliff drops, poisonous gas, lava, volcanic ash are all prevalent.
$30 to do that. No joke. All right, how about one last one?
Not a lot
one?
Of safety gear.
Cliff camping.
Cliff camping. Is this where they're like climbing a mountain and then they put up one of those little tiny tents that's hanging off the side? Because I don't like that idea.
It's 100% a real thing. You sleep on a piece of nylon that's suspended on the side of a giant cliff.
Oh.
It costs about $1,500. But listen to this.
There's no prerequisites of skill. I mean, we have people that have never put on a harness before that can do this. Most climbers wouldn't even consider going out on a portal edge till years into their career. And we can do this with 20 minutes of training.
Do you think that I should be on the side of a cliff after 20 minutes of training, a mile high in the sky?
Right. When other climbers would never dream of this?
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know.
No, I think I'll skip.
Yep. If you're into extreme tourism, here you go.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us, they let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. Neil and Annie, you guys have a 13-year-old son, right?
Yes.
And you're having a problem. So what's going on?
Okay, so our son is 13, and he is on the baseball team, and he's getting picked on mercilessly by his teammates. You know, it's like bordering on bullying, and he's really, really upset about it. You know, he's not as strong a player as the other kids. He's made some mistakes during the game, and they're just really, I mean, he comes home crying, and the coach hasn't done anything about it. You know, I did bring it up, and the coach is like, oh, you know, they're just being boys. It's not as bad as he makes it sound. And, like, I don't think it's right, and I don't think it's healthy for our son, and I want to call a meeting, you know, with the other parents to discuss it. It's not cool to be a bully, and I think these parents need to know that their kids are being bullies, and, you know, I want to address which kids are the problem that are making my son come home crying. So that's what I would like to do. Neil has a different idea.
All right, Neil, what's going on?
Well, I don't want to humiliate him, you know. I mean, if he's doing things that are wrong, he needs to learn, you know, how to compete and how to play the sport. And I don't think it's necessary bullying, but I think it's just that, you know, he has to step up and make the changes and practice harder so that he'll become a better ball player.
Neil, you don't think it's a matter of him being bullied. You think that he just feels sad because, like, the other kids aren't really being very nice to him because he's not playing as well as them.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of part of being on a team, right, sometimes. But there is a line, right? So, you know what? Listen, when I was a car dealer in Vegas, it was a thing where it's like everybody shares tips, right? And so because of that, everybody's really aware of the job that everybody else that's working on their shift does with them. And if you weren't good at what you did, you weren't friendly, you weren't welcoming, you weren't, you know, running a clean game or anything like that, we'd run you out. We'd run you out. If you had the aptitude and you wanted to do better, people would help you out. If somebody says to you, you're not doing a good job at whatever it is you're doing, whether it's baseball or anything else, it doesn't feel good. So maybe you take that as you're being bullied, makes you upset, and you don't, at that point, want to strive and grow. On the other hand, maybe he's being bullied.
Right.
You know, yeah. So, and if that's the case, then that's completely wrong.
And may I just say something? I'm sorry. And, you know, I'm not trying to be an overprotective mom, but, like, you know, you say, oh, do a good job, do a better job. You're talking about being an adult man with an adult job. This is a child. And so I think for him to get better, he needs encouragement from his teammates. You know, he needs Chandler, someone who used to be his friend and is now making fun of him, to be like, hey, you know what? Let's run some drills. Let's practice together. Let me help you get better. Kids need to be encouraging him, not because when you're insecure, you're just going to keep making more mistakes.
Yeah, but Annie, do you think stepping in and calling a meeting with the parents, I mean, if you've addressed it with the coach and the coach doesn't seem to think it's an issue, do you think that it alienates your son if now you're going to draw more attention to it by calling a meeting with all the parents?
Certainly could, because one of those parents is going to tell. Somebody's going
to
talk.
I mean, I just wish there was a way to get the kids to encourage him and work with him to be better.
Why don't we see what the audience has to say? Because the question is, 13 years old, potentially being bullied by his teammates, is that a good enough reason for you, Mom, to call a meeting with all the parents? Yes or no? And they may agree with you. Absolutely. If the coach isn't getting involved, then you get involved. But they may see Neil's side, too. He's 13 years old. This may be an issue of him feeling a little bit down and people making a few snide comments, and he's got to kind of learn how to stand up for himself. And Mom and Dad shouldn't get involved anymore at this point.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
I know, I hate to even say it out loud, but the truth of the matter is that bullying has become a buzzword. And a lot of times when kids feel sad or they're having a tough time with their emotions or they're not getting along with other kids, they say, I'm being bullied. And that might not always necessarily be the whole story of what's happening, but they know that that'll initiate action and kind of punish other people if they say that.
I mean, listen, I'm not going to say that you're wrong, but I would say that that's an individual situation, right? And every situation is going to be different, right? So, but it is a trigger word nowadays, and people do know that.
Yeah, so what's happening here is really tricky. Neil and Annie have a 13-year-old son, and he says that he's being bullied by other kids on his baseball team. And they make fun of him because he's not as good as they are, and he's blown a couple plays during the games. So Annie has talked to the coach, and the coach has said, well, it's not really bullying. It's just, you know, he feels like he can't keep up with the other kids, and I think he's just saying that.
Yeah, and, you know, listen, if you're on a team, listen, other people are going to call you out. That's part of being on a team. It's going to happen, especially when, you know, if other people feel like they're applying themselves better, they're trying harder, whatever it may be. It's easy for us to just say that it's talent and skill. On the other hand, it could be focus, right?
So Neil, her husband, says we have to let it be. He's got to fight his own battles. He's got to figure this out.
Right.
Annie wants to call a meeting with the other parents and say, like, we need to talk about this and we need to all talk to our kids about bullying and what's right and what's wrong and the words we use and whether they hurt each other.
My experience is that usually makes things worse.
I don't know. I don't What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Brian.
Well, I agree with him. I'm a baseball coach, and I think that taking it to the parents is not the right way to go. I would go back to the coach, say it again, so the coach is a little more proactively managing it in practice if things are going on in practice or at games. And then, you know, you have to teach the boy to lead his own way out of his own mess or his own problems in life and how to rise up to them. So one thing you might do is, schedule a trip to, like, a local batting cage and invite some of the teammates to go. So it's, you know, the son and a smaller group of kids that maybe he was friends with or is friends with, and have them build some strength that way. And the last thing is, you know, parents at games sit on the sidelines and, you know, have private conversations with people and sort of, you know, if you feel it's right to bring it up, do it that way. But I wouldn't go nuclear and go to all the parents.
Appreciate the call, Coach.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. How do you tell if your child is actually getting bullied or if they're just saying it, and how involved do you get? That's what's going on today between Neil and Annie. Their 13-year-old son says he's being bullied by his teammates on the baseball team. Mm-hmm. Now, Neil thinks it's just because he's not as good as the other kids, and a lot of times there's, like, we'll call it ribbing. But Annie's already went to the coach to talk to the coach, and the coach said, not really. He's just putting pressure on himself, and he just feels left out because he's not as good as the other boys.
Yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of times you have to pay attention to the coach on this. On the other hand, the coach is managing all the players on the team, right? So are they seeing everything? Nobody's ever seeing everything, right? You have to put yourself in the shoes of, what is it actually going on with my son? And then look at the other teammates and watch, I guess, you know, for a certain amount of time. I'm thinking, right, and kind of deduce what is actually going on here.
But Annie's so upset. She's like, I went to the coach. He's doing nothing. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the parents. Neil does not think that's a good idea,
yeah,
calling
more
like a parents meeting.
Son.
Yeah. What do you think? Would you go to the parents to address the fact that your son says he's being bullied, or would you let him fight the fight for himself? 1-800-330-9999. Patricia, whose side are you on?
I'm on Neil's side. I don't think it's a good idea to call a meeting on the kid. It's not fair for him. It's going to draw more attention to him. And the parents, you're getting what you want out of the meeting with the parents is for them to talk to the kids, not the bully. So they're going to make even more fun of the child.
Mike, what do you think? Whose side are you on?
I don't know. I think little buddy needs to get some tougher skin. I've had a similar scenario. I'm still young, 24 years old. I've witnessed the same thing. I've had a kid go to my little brother's and tell them I was bullying him. I was not bullying him. He was within our group. He was a part of us. He was us. We made fun of him, and I get where Buddy's coming from, being on the team, but the team is, if they make fun of you, you're a part of the group, Buddy. Like, you are one of them. Make fun back. Make fun back.
It's an interesting take.
Yeah, it's an interesting point, actually.
Right. Lorraine, whose side are you on?
I'm on the dad's side. I think he's a 13-year-old boy, which is pretty much going into high school. And if the coach won't step in, which I agree, it's the coach's place to step in and say, let's encourage our teammates. Maybe this child should pick another sport. Can keep trying, but if he's getting frustrated and sad, maybe it's time to look at a different sport.
Well, I think those are the operative words there, frustrated and sad, right? And that's an emotion. That's a feeling. That's not a physical threat. You know, you're upset. You're not performing well, which anybody can relate to. It's always so much more fun to do something that you're great at, right? I mean, everybody knows that.
Right.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Neil, our audience agreed with you today. This has got to be a battle that your son fights. And you also need to be vigilant and make sure that it's not a bullying issue. Because if it is a true bullying issue, then you need to step in. But if it's just his feelings are being hurt because they're rolling their eyes when he's dropping a ball, it's a little bit of a different story.
I appreciate that.
There's nothing worse than being the kid who feels like they're in a situation where finally tell somebody, nobody's doing something about it. So again, you have to keep eyes on this situation, but you have to develop a thicker skin, right? And if you're going to put yourself out there, you know, playing sports or anything like that, you know, that's all part of it. And that's part of the strength that you can gather from it too. Hopefully that's the way it's going to turn out there.
Okay.
Annie, you going to be all right?
Yeah. I mean, I think the key is vigilance, you know, just... I'm really not trying to be overprotective. You know, I want him to be happy and I want him to become a better player. So just some encouragement instead of beating him down would be good. And I hope the coach sees that. And I hope there's a way to make that happen.
All right. Well, if you have a problem too, send an email. Couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't Beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven jackpot is $2,400 thanks to Sherwin-Williams. Ask Sherwin-Williams and save 30% on super paint products and super deck stains now through June 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Hey, Trisha, you ready to play today?
Yes, I am.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
You got it. Good luck, Trish.
Okay.
Thank you.
I like when he calls you Trish, like you guys are best friends forever. All right. That door closed. You can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in. Ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
I'm ready.
Number one, the Once Upon a One More Time musical is now on Broadway. It's based on the music of what pop star?
Britney Spears.
Number two, adding his name to the long list of celebrities that wants Pat Sajak's hosting duties on Wheel of Fortune is Andy Cohen. He hosted another rebooted game show where people went on 3 blind dates, then talked about them. What was that show called?
Love Connection.
Number three, Seth Meyers dismissed rumors that he's going to be taking over when Lorne Michaels retires. Lorne Michaels has been executive producer since he created SNL 50 seasons ago. Who were the first 2 women to co-host Weekend Update?
Oh, my goodness. One who is married to Jean. Oh, I can't remember her name. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Number four, Netflix will start streaming Titanic July 1st, and people are slamming them, saying they're cashing in on the tragedy. What color was the stone in the necklace that Rose wore?
Blue.
And number five, Kelly Clarkson says her new album is very much a How Stella Got Her Groove Back after her divorce. Sure, How Stella Got Her Groove Back was a movie, but who was the author that wrote the novel?
I have no idea.
Okay, let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
3 out of 5 for Trisha.
Not great, not terrible. Here we go, $2,400.
Number one, the Once Upon a One More Time musical is now on Broadway. It's based on the music of what pop star?
Britney Spears.
Yes, that is right. Mm-hmm. I heard it's great. And she actually, like, wished the cast and everybody good luck. So,
I mean, what would she do?
Yeah.
Right.
Number two, adding his name to the long list of celebrities that want Pat Sajak's hosting duties on Wheel of Fortune is Andy Cohen. Andy Cohen hosted another rebooted game show where people went on 3 blind dates then talked about them. What was that show called?
That's Love Connection.
That's right. Get out of the way, Andy Cohen. I'm going to be the new host of Wheel of Fortune.
You know what? I liked Andy Cohen years back, and I've kind of grown tired of it.
Number three, Seth Meyers dismissed rumors that he will take over SNL when Lorne Michaels retires. Now, Lorne Michaels has served as executive producer since he created SNL 50 seasons ago. Who were the first 2 women to co-host Weekend Update?
I'm just going to guess. It certainly could be cast members that were before, but knowing your fandom, I'm going to say Amy Poehler and Tina Fey.
That is correct.
Yep.
And you cheated just because you know that I'm giant fans of them.
Huge.
And they're on tour now, and I got to figure out how to go see them.
It's great. I mean, it's not got nothing to do with the game. But
number
okay.
four, Netflix will start streaming Titanic July 1st, and people are slamming them, saying they're cashing in on the tragedy.
I mean, people want to watch it. They're curious again.
What color was the stone in the necklace that Rose wore?
Blue.
Right, heart of the ocean. And number five, Kelly Clarkson says her new album is very much a How Stella Got Her Groove Back after her divorce.
That first song kind of spells it out, doesn't it?
Sure, it was made into a movie in the 90s, but who wrote the book How Stella Got Her Groove Back?
That's easy. Stephen King.
No, it was Terry McMillan.
Are you sure it's not Stephen King?
I am 100% sure.
You should look again.
I'll look, but I'm positive. Trisha, he beat you 4-3 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Oh, I'm excited to get a t-shirt.
Awesome.
This is Trisha, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $2,500 tomorrow, Anna.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.